You're listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. This is a podcast to help you homeschool simply, inexpensively, and enjoyably. Carol Joy Side has been helping families homeschool for several decades now through her literature-based approach to education. And I'm Rachel Winchester, a fellow homeschool mom using this method with my own three children. In this episode, Carol and I started by talking about our dear friend, Salty the Singing Songbook, and his influence on our families. But we ended up talking about other ways we can disciple our children during the preschool and elementary years as well. We hope this episode helps you in raising children who praise the Lord. Are you looking for a science podcast your kids will love that is rooted in biblical truth? Nat Theo, Nature Lessons Rooted in the Bible, helps kids grow in wonder and faith as they explore God's world through the lens of God's Word. It's a simple and fascinating way to enjoy Bible-based nature study. Weekly episodes explore animals your kids already love, like axolotls, sea otters, bats, lions, giraffes, and more. Join thousands of families tuning in every day around the world to this top-ranked podcast. It's engaging, biblically grounded, and full of, wait, tell me more, moments that spark great family conversations. I know my family has greatly enjoyed this podcast. The Nat Theo podcast is free to listen to wherever you enjoy podcasts. You can also join their club for new Bible and nature curriculum every week. Listen free wherever you enjoy podcasts or at nattheo.com. Now let's get into the episode. Well, today, Carol and I are here to talk about one of our very favorite tools, I guess you might say, for discipling your kids and teaching them just about God and what it is to be a Christian. So that is the Salty, the Singing Songbook. And actually, I think Carol's who introduced me to it, but I think I may have known it as a child. So, because I grew up, you know, in early 90s and stuff.
In a Christian school too.
And yeah, I'm pretty sure the people there knew about it. Because actually, funny story, or it's not really funny, it's like very sweet. I went to the woman who was the wife of the husband and wife pair who started our Christian school. I went to her Bible study when I was much older, like early 20s. It was after I graduated college. Mm-hmm. And she was still leading a Bible study for the women that basically all these women that she's discipled over the years still were just like sitting at her feet learning all this after all these years. And we would always see, it was early in the morning. It's a room full of women. And we would sing like maybe two songs before we got started with the teaching. And one of the songs that we sang a lot was "Behold What Manner of Love the Father Has Given Unto mm-hmm. Us." And it would be in the round, you know, the, mm-hmm.
That's right.
I call it a round, but my husband calls it something else.
It is.
And it was so beautiful. And I'm like, is that another song or is it Salty original that these women grew up teaching all of us when we were kids and it just like took root in their heart. And here we are, they're like elderly women now still singing that song. It's so beautiful.
Oh, yes. And that's an old Calvary Chapel song. And we would sing it in the round, like thousands of people it was kind of a semicircle. Mm-hmm. And Pastor Chuck would cue the next group with his finger and we would all sing it.
It's awesome.
And it would make me cry. Mm-hmm. And it just, oh, yeah. That is so beautiful. Mm-hmm. Well, so since we're talking about Calvary, Calvary is where our favorite coach for children to learn to worship God came from. And it's a young couple. They weren't married. At first, they came out of the Jesus movement, Ernie Rotino and Debbie Kerner. Debbie is Jewish. And they started traveling together on the circuit during the Jesus movement. And they were absolutely firm that they were not dating. They were not an item. And then as time went on, they fell in love and got married. And they're married to this day beautifully. And but they had they started out as solo singers, each of them. They'd be on Christian television and, you know, writing songs and leading adult worship. And I don't know how it came about, how the Lord gave them this character. And his name is Salty with a P, P-S-A-L-T-Y, coming from the word psalter, which is in the old, like, New England churches, that's they would just have the Psalms in a book, and that was their hymn book. And they all sang these kind of not very exciting tunes, and but it was the Word of God. And so they came up with this, and Salty, the singing songbook. And then as time wore on, they even created a costume for Ernie to wear. And it was this great big, huge blue book with his arms and legs sticking out in blue tights. And then he would have blue paint on his face. And my memory is of JJ as a little boy, because he worshiped the ground that Salty walked on. And JJ as a little boy, being at a, Salty was doing a live show, you know, of one of the albums when it came out. And it was such a hot day in California, and the sweat was just kind of running down his face. And little JJ, of course, was not aware that this was not really Salty and that he was dying of heat prostration. And he was like, wanted to hug him, and Salty hugged him. He was so patient and so kind. He was probably about three. But anyway, so we have so many memories. As Ernie and Debbie got married and started, they were actually working as like chaplains to Maranatha Christian Academy, which was our Christian school at Calvary Costa Mesa. And that is a whole nother story that I won't tell in this podcast, but the Lord mightily, mightily used them. And they would lead a believers meeting on Friday night at Villa Sweden in Huntington Beach. And the Holy Spirit would just come, and they would lead us in worship and wouldn't stop until the Lord said, there was peace in that room, and that his power was there. And people would be hanging off the fire escape to try to get in. It was just a miracle kind of time. It really was. But then they went on to create this character, and with full orchestra. And I mean, the music quality, of course, they're both songwriters. It's not your typical We Sing, you know, juvie kind of thing. It has so much depth and quality. And theologically, each album was catechizing your child in a different area of their spiritual development. And we were talking about our favorites. So I love album. So these are called the Kids Praise albums, Kids Praise, and they're numbered. So the first one is Kids Praise 1, and then Joyfully Noise is Kids Praise 2. But then they get really, really good as you're, because your kids are getting older. So then Fantastic Family is all about the family of God and brothers and sisters in a family, you know, sibling issues. And then Sensational, because Salty has booklets. Mm-hmm. He and Saltina have booklets, harmony, melody, and rhythm. Yep. And their brother is rhythm, and he's a drum. And they're just adorable. And then Sensational Servants talks about, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, learn to be the servant of all and what that looks like. And then Salty takes the kids camping, and they're just getting kind of faint of heart. And he sings this song, One Step at a Time. And he encouraged them to not give up, to keep on going when they're starting to faint spiritually in their heart. And then my favorite is Heart to Change the World, which always makes me cry. And about really missions, missiology. Number Kids Pray 7 is the hymnastic. What is it called?
Hymnological.
Yeah. Adventure. And how would you describe that one?
They travel back in time, and it goes all the way back to David writing psalms in the pasture. Yeah.
Temple. In Solomon's temple.
Well, yeah, it goes back to when he's a shepherd boy. And you're in the field with him, and he's playing his harp, and that's like the first one. And then it goes
Psalm 23.
Yeah. And then it goes to Solomon's temple, which is
the dedication of the temple.
It's just amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So well done, like you were saying. And then it travels up through time, and John Newton and
Fanny Crosby. That's my favorite. Fanny Crosby is my favorite. Yeah, they keep getting into the time machine, and it takes them to mm-hmm. different places. And they meet John Newton, who was a slave trader who got saved and wrote the hymn of the church, Amazing Grace. Yeah. And the kids are learning and meeting all these famous people that created our hymns. I mean, who would write stuff like this today? People would think, oh, this is way above children's heads, but it's not.
Yes. Yes. I know. I think that's maybe one of my favorite parts about Salty is that they're so, it's what Charlotte Mason says, children are born persons.
That's right.
And they recognize that each child is a person and they have just inherent value and they have their own relationship with God, and God wants a relationship with them as an individual and not just this like ethereal thing, and it's not just like a kid version of it. It's like God wants you to follow him. And like I was looking through the albums as you're reading them out, and I'm like, man, if a man follows me, let him deny himself. And a lot of it's straight scripture.
That's right. It is.
Yeah.
It is.
A lot of it's straight scripture. And which also is really helpful because then they've gotten in my mind, and it's like, the reason it's a tool for discipleship is because then it's, you have that right there to say, you know, if any man wants to follow Jesus, you have to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him. Mm-hmm. It's not gonna, you know, it just gives you these words.
It does.
To use.
Lots of tools.
Yeah, tools. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like you said, with sensational servants, I mean, how many times have I
sung that song to Benji?
Yeah. All my kids, and even myself, you know, of just, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. And don't, you know, we just all need to learn that lesson. And we can all resonate with Charity, who's doing this like show tune, because she's like, why would I need to pray about that? I can be a gospel singer for God, obviously. You know, it's like, well, maybe not.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Not all of our grandiose plans are the ones that
our motives
God has for us.
Yes, it's addressing our motives. And are we doing it for God or for our self-aggrandizement? Is that a word? So, yeah, yeah. And then it goes on. Number 8 is about a baseball team. And, of course, Salty is the coach. And then missing album, number 9. And then number 10 is Celebration Salvation, where they're on a train and they learn how to share their faith with others and the power of evangelism. And I want to talk about, like, the importance of children growing up with music that they can control for themselves, because we are raising a generation that has to walk around and find their parents and make sure their parent isn't on their phone. And then could I listen to such and such? Oh no, grandma's calling. And then the music stops and whatever it is. Like, no. Like, places like Walmart sell little boom boxes and they're, I don't know, 40, 50, whatever they are. They're a great Christmas present or birthday present. And then building a CD collection for your children. And Ernie and Debbie still are running their ministry, and their website is salty.com, salty.com. And we interviewed Debbie and Ernie. And Rachel, do you know what number that was?
It was 134.
Okay. So Debbie, Ernie, and I kind of grew up in Christ together. We were not friends because I was a new Christian and they were more in leadership, but they shaped my life. I remember being in a class that Ernie was teaching on Tuesday nights. We had elective classes and it was on worship. And he talked about, you know, he like pretended he was like in church. He's raising his hands. He's singing up to the ceiling, you know, but then he's telling us what's really in his mind. Did I forget to turn the stove off? What about who watered the plants? Oh, I wonder if the dog, like, he goes, see, that's not worship. Worship, and what he taught the children from day one in Kids Praise was worship is singing to God from your heart. It's not singing. Worship is not singing. It's when it's from your heart. And how he shaped me to this day. I still hear his voice in my ear 50 years later saying to me, are you just going through the motions here? Or are you really worshiping the God of the universe?
The next school year is coming quickly. If you are looking to simplify your to-do list and maximize your child's impact, check out Voteberg Music Academy for a holistic approach to music. For less than the price of one private lesson, your whole family can learn either guitar, piano, violin, mandolin, or ukulele from professional musicians that have been performing for decades. Instead of learning in isolation, your musician will be inspired to be a part of a community of other like-minded families performing on a student showcase, participating in quarterly challenges, and competing in contests for cash prizes. Instead of trying to pick out songs for themselves on YouTube, the Vogtberg Method offers a proven success path that thousands of students have used to earn badges mailed to their doorstep while gaining confidence and proficiency as a musician. Live coaching calls with your instructor will tailor lessons to each of your students' specific needs and goals. If you're looking to bring fun, rewarding music into your home this school year, go to VogtbergMusicAcademy.com. Use our code HOMESCHOOL25 for 25% off your first month. Simplify your curriculum search with music lessons designed for families. Vogtberg Music Academy will hold your hand each step of the way. Now let's get back to the show.
So, and the other thing about Ernie and Debbie is every album had a song that was really for the parents. And so the children loved that song, but the parents were like crying in the car as they're driving, as they're listening to it, right? I mean, he never stops convicting me. There's a purity, there's an innocence that I love so much. When my granddaughter was a little girl, I had saved the cassette tapes from JJ's childhood because I didn't know if we could ever access this information again, you know? So that was the one thing I saved from his childhood. And I turned them over to my daughter-in-law like it was like the Shroud of Turin. It was like, this is the most precious thing. And of course, I only had one copy. And that was it. Like if you lose these, like if the dog chews it or something, like you said your dog did. So with the CDs.
It's a travesty.
That's right. It really was. And so little Isley, they would get in the car. And in those days, they had a car that still played cassettes. It wasn't that long ago that you could have a car that had a CD player and a cassette player. And you know, not that long ago, maybe 15 years ago. And so they would get in the car. And before they would even turn on the key, little two-year-old in the back seat would be going, "Salty! Salty!" And they would be like, "Oh," because they had to hear it thousands of times because every time they got in the car, that's all she wanted to hear. But it shaped her spiritual formation. And then I sent her an album that was made by Johnny Erickson Tada, and it was hymns for kids. And it came with a book. And the book told you the history of the hymn. And then it had the CD of the hymn. And again, she would be playing this on her own. And she'd be belting hymns out like little Lucy does at your house. You tell me. Lucy was just, what were some of the hymns you told me the other day? She was singing at the top of her lungs. And you're like, I mean, these are not children.
Come thou fount. She was singing Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
See, I mean.
And I have a video of them singing. At the cross, that was one of the first hymns that we taught them when they were like, you know, older.
Exactly.
And we have this video of them singing together. And it's so sweet.
Yes. And the thing about hymns is they are full of rich theology and imprinting those hymns in your children's lives. I remember Calvary and Maranatha Music came out with something called the Praise Albums. And they were, I think, the best-selling Christian albums of all time. And in those albums, eventually they did praise hymns, and they had people like Kieran Lafferty and like all the different, you know, kids from the Jesus Movement that were solo singers, but they had them each do a different hymn with a contemporary arrangement. And I can remember when JJ was a little boy and I would play that over and over, and I memorized all those hymns painlessly. We never had songbooks at Calvary. We never had overheads, but it was just when you can listen to something multiple times. And that's why it's so important for your children to have their own little CD player and they can listen to quality stuff, not these silly children's things, but they will listen to adult stuff and particularly the right stuff. I mean, some contemporary music is just not at all pertinent for children, just not at all. Even in the Christian world, it's just, I don't know what they're trying to accomplish, but it's not for children. But the original Jesus People music was very simple. And so even children could love it. And it just had a joy in it. And I just think imprinting your children when they're wet cement, when they're young. And that's why, you know, when JJ was a little boy, we would put him to bed listening to Pastor Chuck teaching. We'd put him to bed listening to those cassette tapes. And then it would end and it would just turn off and he'd be asleep, of course, by then. But just getting the word in our kids painlessly and playing the word so that the word of God is in the walls of your house. And when we get into the car, we listen to teaching. We're going to listen to Tim Keller or Alistair Begg or Pastor Chuck or whoever your favorite pastors are, but people who teach the word. Kids love listening to Greg Laurie because he's so funny, but he's teaching the word chapter by chapter, verse by verse. So just I think a lot of times people think, oh, my kids won't put up with that. If that's all they've ever known, they will put up with it. And you can teach them to be respectful. And it doesn't have to be a punishment. Like when it's on in your home and they're playing with their Legos or whatever, that's fine. I don't expect them to sit in rest position while you're listening to a teaching. But it's amazing how they listen without you knowing it and how they're picking that up with second nature. Like one day, my husband was putting JJ to bed. He was 4 years old and he came out. He always would lay on the bed with him and they'd pray and they'd sing and they'd do whatever. And he came out of the bedroom and he said, "Do you know what JJ just said?" And I said, "No." He said, "When I die, will I have a body not made with hands eternal in the heavenlies?" And, you know, his dad almost passed out. But it's like, well, he'd been listening to Pastor Chuck. We would take him into the closed circuit room so that he could hear, you know, instead of going into the children's ministry, which it was not a good fit a lot of times. And Dr. Moore challenged us. Your kids need to be in worship with you. They need to see God touching you. They need to hear the word of God. And you bring them raisins and bring them a little toy and a little felt book and stuff and sit in the front row so that they're not distracted. And practice all week. Say, okay, now we're going to take the offering. Now we're going to have the sermon. Now we're going to take communion, you know. And he would tell us this stuff. Yeah. It was so radical. Because, you know, people just thought you had to put your children in nursery. But, you know, I mean, toddlers belong in the nursery. But after that, you know, when they can sit and draw on the little offering envelopes and, you know, and eat little snacks, they're hearing the word and the word of God does not return void.
Yeah, our church kind of does a gradual, like where kids under four, they have the whole, you know, the nursery, but then kids 4 to 6 are dismissed from our service. So they sit in the first part of it. So they hear some of the readings and they hear the first two songs and all that kind of stuff. And then they get, you know, released down into the children's church for the rest of the time. So then it's kind of like they get this gradual, you know, they're used to being in the first 30 minutes of the service. And then, you know, once they're 7, then it's like, all right, you get to be in the whole service now.
And then they
God help us.
But you see, they've been trained and it's been modeled and that it's an honor and a privilege to be in instead of, it's never a punishment. They see it now as a rite of passage. What a great way to do it. Yeah, my church in Wheaton, Church of the Resurrection, the parents would take the kids to their classes, but then when it was time for communion, everyone would go get their children, and then the children could participate in communion to get a blessing or to receive, whether they'd been baptized, and then they were there for all that worship time as well.
Yeah.
But a lot of the families kept their kids the whole time because their kids— homeschool kids really can sit through church. They really can. If they do what your church is doing, which kind of do it a little bit at a time and make it a reward.
Yeah.
I love that. That's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, it is good. It's just it does take discipline and it takes, you know, you're not there. You are there to worship and to hear, but you're also still
parenting.
You know, there's a book called Parenting in the Pew.
Yes, there is.
And it's like,
it's great.
You know, you are still parenting and you have to be ready to parent and you have to be not have a grumpy attitude about having to parent still, you know? And so I think sometimes maybe they just, people just want to, I want to take my kid so then I don't have to, and then I can just have this moment. But the long game of it is kind of better if it's like you take that time to train them and then they're in it, you know, because I mean, it is powerful to have your elementary school child with you as you're, you know, see like the way that you're moved by the sermon or the way that God convicts you and the way that you respond in worship or, you know, all those things. It is very good to see that you have a real relationship with God.
Yes. And that they're just not in sanctified babysitting, but that they're a member of the church family. And that's what I love is when children are in church with their parents, the whole church, if they're well behaved, I understand not that they're terrorizing everyone, but if they're well behaved, the church embraces them and includes them in the life of the church. And that is such a beautiful thing for kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we ended up kind of morphing into more of like a spiritual formation all fronts. But I think, you know, salty definitely plays a part in that. But then all these other ways of just giving ourselves, our kids, we're like alongside our kids and leading them, but then also giving them these tools and opportunities for them to really have ownership of them having a relationship
with God. That's exactly right.
And that being the way it always is, not just like, okay, now you're a teenager. And so now, you know, what are you going to do? But all along the way, they have a relationship with
God. Right. You know, Evie Turnquist, who, a darling little Scandinavian young woman who was in the Jesus movement as well, she had a children's album. And one of the songs was Into My Heart. Into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And I remember when JJ had a little, those horses, what are they called? Those rocking horses that are like, they have springs on them. What, I don't know what those are called, right? I don't know
if they, are they just rocking horses?
Yeah, but it's not a wood, he had a wooden one, but then this was one where you could really like, you know,
get after it, chase down a bad guy.
That's right. And he was on our front porch when we lived in Nashville, and he was rocking on that horse with the springs up and down, back and forth, and listening to that song over and that album over and over again. And and when he was 3 years old, he asked his daddy if he could ask Jesus into his heart. And he knew all about it, man. Let me tell you what. He knew because Salty had, I mean, of course, we had also, but Salty had catechized him and really poured into him. Another album that was so precious was Anselvania. So Anselvania was the story of the prodigal son, and the prodigal son was an ant, and they were all ants. And it was the most witty, clever, brilliant, but it was all about repentance and humbling yourself and returning to the Father's house. And there was one on the fruit of the Spirit that was great. There were so many great children's albums. They were so ahead of their time in the theological riches that they were giving. Annie Hearing, who was from Second Chapter of Acts, did the most beautiful children's album. And one of them was singing, I think, Zephaniah and stuff like, I mean, these were riches. This wasn't, you know, pin the tail on the donkey songs. These were deep theological truths that people weren't afraid to expose children to. Mm-hmm. And the fruit is still being born today.
Yeah. Yeah, that Into My Heart song, that's on the Salty.
Oh, that's right.
That's on the Salvation Celebration.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. But Evie is, I think, who sang it first. Yes.
Yeah. Wow. That's why I sometimes wonder, like, what if this is
an original
or that they have taken, you know, brought in and built a whole story around and stuff.
Well, but on the CD, it will have the person who wrote the song under the title.
Yeah, in the book. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. This is great. And I hope everyone will get some Salty CDs and a CD player. Mm. And they have bundle packs. One time I bought a bundle pack, and then it was like I would pull a CD and give it as a birthday present or put it in Easter baskets mm-hmm. or give it as a stocking gift or, yes. you know, and I would distribute them throughout the year. And then, yes, one fateful day, some were somehow left out in the yard.
Yes.
And then a lawnmower came and chewed them up. And I found bits of the fourth album in the yard.
No.
And
I
was like, how did this happen?
Oh, Charity Church Mouse and Risky Rat.
I'm so sorry.
That's so yeah. sad.
So I've got to restock my salty collection yes. to make yeah. sure that we're not missing any of the important
right.
ones.
That's right. You know. Oh, wow. Well, let's pray. Let's pray for these families that you want to pray for them. You're right in the throes of raising little children. So why don't you pray for the other families?
Okay. All right. We do thank you, God, that we can behold what manner of love that you've had for us and that you have called us in Christ children of God. And we pray that we would be able to, first of all, know that and believe it for ourselves and that you would help us to convey that truth to our children and that they would hear your call to them, that many would invite you into their lives and that they would follow you and take up their cross. And may you help each of us to be faithful to that end. And we just love you and pray that our hearts would be steadfast toward you. Mm-hmm. And we thank you for the gift of these tools and these songs and Salty's ministry to help us do that. For your name's sake, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. If you like what you heard in this episode, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or share this episode with a friend. It means so much when you help us spread the message of Homeschool Made Simple with others. Thanks for joining us this week on the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. Remember, Jesus' commandments are not burdensome. What he calls you to do, he will enable you to do. Blessings.